Zeke is my son. I introduced him last week. He's awesome. he's 24 years old. He has a bachelor's degree from University of Texas Business School, and he works in a business that we own together, and he's building that business. So,
I go ahead and turn to page 24. Another blank page. I'll give you a lot less to write down than Les does. Give you a break. Last week we talked about resistance and the definition of resistance. And the definition, one of the main definitions we used was that definition is the confused and angry noise that shows up in your head whenever you put your creativity on the line. We discussed properties of resistance, examples of resistance, and our core goal of resistance in your life is to keep you hidden and to keep you from giving your uniqueness to those around you. So this week's going to be a little different. It's about recognizing your own personal form of resistance. It makes it kind of tricky because I know I've learned my own form of resistance, but I don't know yours. And what resistance does is resistance takes your own personal past story and your own personal makeup, and it uses those things to fight you when you're going towards that next step in your goals. And so tonight I thought the best way to kind of show you your own personal form of resistance was to give you an example of my own. But I'm going to start off today with another definition by Seth Godin. He is the number one online marketing blog. And as I'm reading this definition, go ahead and write down anything that sticks out that really identifies with you, because he does a great job in this little paragraph in really saying how resistance takes shape in a lot of different people. So resistance is the subtle instinct to do a little less, to polish along the edges, to fit in, to get along, to become mediocre. The voice of the resistance is a million years old. It understands art is dangerous because art makes you vulnerable, because art generates criticism, because art isn't for everybody. And so tonight I've broken down resistance into four different stages. So go ahead and make a title, Four Stages of Resistance. And after each one, I want you to put goal, because I'm going to give you the goal of that stage of resistance. So number one is denial, and then under that put goal. Number two is overanalyzation. Number three, I'm going to run over them again. Number three is avoidance, and number four is winless. WINLESS, having no wins. So that was denial, overanalyzation, avoidance, and winless. And before as I'm telling you my story, go ahead and try to identify which stage I'm at the different point of the story. Because I wanted to use a story that was fresh in my mind so that I could kind of relate to you the emotions I was feeling during the different stages. And then I also wanted to use a story that y'all were a part of. So my story tonight is about me speaking on resistance. So Les asked me about 6 weeks ago to speak, and I said yes right away. I called his bluff, and almost immediately after, not an hour, but later that day, I began to feel like a lot of regret, and I started to ask myself questions that sounded like this. What have I done? Why did I commit to this? Why did I think this was a step towards my goals? And as the deadline began to approach, last Wednesday, I just kept ignoring it. I couldn't do any work. I couldn't prepare for it. I couldn't write an outline. I couldn't practice it. But the one thing that I could do is that I could keep rehearsing it over and over in my head, playing out all the different outcomes. So what happens if I'm awful? What happens if I'm mediocre? What happens if I blow it out of the water? And so I couldn't prepare. It was too painful. And I finally did it. I finally wrote the outline. I finally filled in the gaps and I practiced. And then last Wednesday arrived. And I knew I was going to be nervous. It was kind of like that nervousness that you know you're going to be so afraid at one point. And about 4 hours before, it really just hit me that that anxiety, that fear, that that nervousness, that almost shaking, even though I wasn't even here. And you know, I started to have a ton of irrational thoughts, thoughts like, is it too late for me to get sick? Les did this on his own last time. He can probably do it again. Even on the way, I was driving over here with my cousin, and in the back of my mind, I was thinking, all right, it's not too late. I can drive down to Galveston. I'll turn off my cell phone. I'll wake up on the beach, and it won't be that bad. But I didn't. I showed up. And I made myself vulnerable, you know, to your feedback, to your criticism. And as soon as I finished speaking, I sat down, and the first thought in my head was, oh no, this is what I'm going to have to go through for the next 2 weeks. And so that's the end of the story. But now I want to take a closer look at the four stages of resistance. So number one is denial. And I wrote down different points of each stage, and so I'm gonna read it as almost if you were in that stage yourself. At this point, you are denying the existence of resistance. It arises when you've set a goal and are deciding on the steps to take in order to reach that goal. And denial comes in two main forms. The first one is excuses. Resistance begins to throw excuses of why it's either not the correct step or why you haven't already taken the step. And number two, excess tasks. Resistance starts to bring tasks and to-do items to the front of your mind, and it leads you to seek out a different task besides the important one. And if you noticed, I did not go through denial in my example. And the reason I didn't is because when he asked me, I said yes. So right in that moment, I had a decision to beat the denial stage, and I did. But if I had said, you know, let me get back to you on that, then I would have had to struggle through that whole stage of saying, do I speak, do I not speak? So the goal of denial, go ahead and write this down. The goal of the denial stage is to distract. This is when resistance starts to scream things like, stop going down this path, try a different way, this won't bring you closer to your goal. But it screams these things in words and feelings that you'll listen to. It uses those past experiences, it uses your personal makeup to say things in sounds and emotions that you'll actually find as truth. So stage number two, overanalyzation. At this stage, you have beaten denial and are entertaining the idea of doing that thing you don't want to do. Often, this is the first time that pressure, that unseen force, begins to build. Our response is often to gain control by replaying the potential action over and over again. And this kind of gives us this sense that we can control the outcome of when we actually do produce. But the sense of control is false. And what we're actually experiencing is the fear of what that feedback and that criticism will look like. So you can see this in my example where I couldn't prepare, but I could replay it over and over. And it's so weird because it kind of catches you off guard. You know, it really does. It makes you think that, oh, I'm getting better. I'm facing this thing, but you're not really facing it. It's in your head. You're not actually taking the steps that are needed to get closer to a perfect speech. So the goal of the overanalyzation phase is to make the task at hand seem bigger and scarier than it really is. To make the task at hand seem bigger and scarier than it really is. So stage three, avoidance. At this point, you're all in. You've made up your mind and you're making that next step towards your goal in the near or immediate future. And go ahead and write this down. This is when resistance gets loud. So far, resistance has lost. And its only hope is to hit you with irrational thoughts and to hit you with them often. And you can see that in my example so clearly. That was probably the weirdest thing for me was, I'm thinking about driving to Galveston right now, you know, like I'm thinking about running away. And so this is when past failures come into play. This is when the confused and angry noise in your head is at its loudest. This is when the fight or flight mechanism built into all of us starts to kick in. And so that brings us to the goal of the avoidance phase, and that is to get you not to show up. To get you not to show up. Stage four, winless. I was so hoping that was a word, and it is a word. Winless is a word. At this point, it's all behind you. You have taken that important step towards your goal. You conquered your fears. You may have failed, but at least you failed forward. And go ahead, write this down. And now that you've won, resistance wants to steal that victory. Because these steps towards our goal are not one-time events. They're habits. And habits only get easier the more you practice them. And resistance tries to use this to kind of restart the cycle. And it usually does it often. It wants to take you back into that denial stage. It wants to take you back into the avoidance. And so this is the point when resistance reminds us that we have to start again tomorrow. And you can see this in my example. As soon as I sat down, there should have been joy. There should have been happiness of a job well done. There should be that victory, that excitement, and resistance tries to take it every time. Every time it routes your thoughts into the fear, into the pain. And so that's why this is the most dangerous stage of resistance. Because if you don't think you've won, then you won't go through the pain again. If you don't think you've won, you won't go through the pain again. And the goal of the winless stage is to make you think that breaking through wasn't worth it. To make you think that breaking through wasn't worth it. So go ahead and go throughout your week this week and try to identify the areas of resistance that you struggle with, you know, especially when it pertains to your goals. So maybe at one goal you're at the denial stage, maybe one goal you're at the avoidance stage. So go ahead and try to identify those. Next week we'll be talking about how to fight the resistance. Something I like to say is how to punch resistance in the face. And so go ahead and identify those so that we can punch it in the face.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Good.
Woo! Hey-o. Let me have the recorder.
Oh, yes.
That was really good, Zeke. So if you can identify the sentences and the tone of the voice of resistance in you, you'll be really, really far ahead. But what happens when you sit here and you write down a dream, that's what I want to do, then everything that opposes that is typically is resistance. It wants you to get away from that. That's really good. Go to page, let's see, we're a bit behind, page 25. And we're not going to do this right now, but on page 25, this is going to be your work. Your action point. This connects to page 14. So if you'll put your, I'd ask you to work on page 14 to clarify that those. So go back to page 14. It's your speed goal setting. You just threw down two things for the seven areas on the fat tire of life that are connected to the vision for those seven areas: health, financial, career, business, family, friends, play, mind, and spiritual. And what I want you to do is when by the time you come back next time is to have SMART goals on these seven. So take what you have on page 14, run them through the filter of SMART goals that we have up here. Are they specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timely? And then write them down here as clear as you can with as few words as you can, but that they're quantifiable, that there's a quantity, and then write a time that you'll do that in. And it could start from January 1st to such and such a time. Maybe one of your goals is, maybe one of your vision is a financial healthier life, and you know Christmas is coming up and you're going to go into debt. Set a goal right now to stick on budget, right now. And you can so that could be one of those goals for your vision, or it can start January 1st. Mine will restart in January. Mine will go up through this year, and they'll restart in January. So I will recalibrate my weight loss goal into next year, because that's not something I want to win that battle, and it's not easy. So do that as part of your action. And then I'm going to have to skip around here. You just go to page 28 and 29. If you want to gain something, you've got to lose something. If you want to gain something, you've got to lose something. You want more time with your child? Lose some TV time. Quit watching sports. You want to be better educated? You're going to lose some finances. Nowadays, with the internet and all that's available, you can actually get really well educated through Purdue, through Yale, through different universities on different areas. You want to lose weight? You're going to have to lose some time at the gym. You're going to have to lose some money. You have to lose your hatred of counting calories and or lose some false beliefs. So you're going to have to lose something. So what we want to do is we want to go through this first part here on page 28, and I'm going to give you some suggestions here. So you could, and I want you to think about this. I'll talk about that in a minute. So you could clean out all of the sugar, all the cookies, and all the chips from your pantry. You could do that tonight when you get home if you're trying to lose weight. Yeah. You could dump all your salt and replace it tomorrow with Mrs. Dash. Number two, you could cancel if you're trying to save money. You could cancel your TV bill. Average TV bill is like something like $100 a month. Yet people insist they have to have it. I don't know what else you can cancel. We don't have hardly any subscriptions to anything. Your newspaper, if you don't use it, your gym membership, all of those things you can cancel. Maybe you're supporting some people and you're not financially healthy and you need to cancel their membership. Maybe you're supporting somebody that you're not supposed to, and you need to cancel that so you're healthy. Number three, maybe you can join a gym, join Weight Watchers, join a writer's club. Lone Star has 50 and older, has a bunch of free classes. You can join something there. Number four, you could use a calendar, a calorie counter, a budget, some sort of app on your phone, some sort of program. You can do that today. You can get an app where you can save all your ideas if you're an idea person. You can get an app that will help you write a journal. You can get an app that will remind you to put your weight in every morning. For about $150, you can get something that goes to your arm, that every time you weigh yourself, it goes straight to your smartphone and also does all your steps. You can get an app for it. You can spend some. You're going to have to lose something, though. But what happens is we love to lie to ourselves. We love to say, I'm trying and doing everything right. But we have no way to measure whether we're doing anything right. And so we keep tricking ourselves. We lie to ourselves. And it's a vicious, vicious cycle. So you can cancel your weekly car wash, eating out, yard man, massage, whatever it is you do. But see, if you put yourself on a budget, you will know how much money you're spending on eating out. Most people don't want to know. Most people don't want to know how much they're spending, because then they would have to say, I have enough money, I just prefer to eat it all and watch it all. So I can't go on a vacation, I can't do this, I can't do that, because I'm choosing some other things that aren't going towards a vision. They're just keeping me fat, happy, and satisfied right here. So you can clean out, you want things to be better at your house, you can clean out a room, a storage unit, a car, a closet. You can clean out emotional baggage. You can sign up for a language class, a drawing class, a small business class, a dance class. You can fire or unfriend negative people, magazines, TV shows, emails. You can kick people out of your life in the next 48 hours. It would change everything about your day. We'll talk about that next week when it comes to habits. We'll talk about those vision vampires and all those people that carry that emotional Ebola that come and get you, and it's like a contagion, and they just zap you, and you say that you want to do something, and they just cut it all down with real subtle words like, really? You? And so we'll talk about some of that next week. But if we say, I can't do it, then you won't do it. if you say, I can fire some friends, I can stop reading people's posts on Facebook, then that changes everything. So when you go over to the next page, right next to it, page 29, which you take about 5 minutes. It's not going to be enough, but this is something you can complete later on. Just think quickly, what can I do, what can I lose in order to gain when it comes to my health? You can't put something physical, something practical, in about 5 minutes. I can lose some time and go to the gym. I can lose those cookies that I buy every day and put on my list. I can shop with a grocery list and lose some control and gain some self-control. You can do the whole thing. If you can't figure out any, just skip to the next one. This is for you. This is your journal on what your goals are going to be for next year. So you're going to go back. You're going to highlight some stuff. You'll delete some things. You'll change it as you go into the next couple weeks and as you head towards Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, all weight loss goals are off for the whole week. Just by the way, we'll talk about that next week. All right, you got about another minute. What on your list can you accomplish within the next 24 hours? What can you do in the next 24? Can you join that gym? Can you cancel cable TV? Can you start a budget? Can you get a budget app? Can you get a weight loss app? Can you join Weight Watchers? Can you get an accountability partner to be kinder? Can you download a book on Kindle to know yourself more and be more engaged with people? So what can you do in 24 hours? There's a lot you can do in 24 hours. You can learn a lot in 24 hours. So what can you do in 48 hours, in 2 days? But you just go back to the 24. If you heard me say, what can you do in the next 24 hours? And you're like, I don't want to do it. That's probably the one you need to do. Because that's resistance. Because what you're writing down now is probably more honest than what you'll think about tomorrow night while you're watching your favorite TV show. You know, we always, with Zeke, there's 17 years between Zeke and Victoria, we always would cancel cable in the summer, about May, April, May, springtime. We'd always cancel it till about September, October, because it's nice out. He's a boy, play outside, stuff like that. And we'd still rent DVDs. Back then it was VHS. And we'd always get it back. About 4 years ago, we were like, you know what? There's some TV shows we want to watch that aren't on TV, and there's some series we'd like to buy. So we stopped cable, and we thought we were stopping for the summer. And then we're like, man, we're saving like $80 every month. And then I was like, let's just save for the next 10 or 12 months, and we'll take that money and we'll buy a nice flat screen TV. And then we got the nice flat screen TV, and then we kept not having cable. So we're about 4 years into no cable now. And it's like awesome. Our 7-year-old has no TV commercials. We have complete control over her domain. It's been really good. It's been super healthy for us. Now, I don't watch sports, so that makes it a lot easier. So I'm not saying everybody should do that. But there's a way that you can save money, that you can do things, and it might be the very thing that you think you can't do. So what can you do in 7 days? What can you do in a day, in 2 days, in 7 days? Did you know that if you read 3 books on any given topic, you would be smarter than 95% of the people in the world on that topic? If you read 3 books on time management, you would know more than almost anybody else in the world on time management. If you read 3 books on a culture, 3 books on the 1800s, 3 books on SMART goals, 3 books on public speaking, you would know more than almost anybody else in the world. So it doesn't take long for us to become an expert and for us to pursue. You can take classes online. You can get coached online. You can be part of group things. You can change your life. You can change your life and change your future and change your destiny just by making some decisions, just by setting some goals. Okay, so you can just go to a piece of paper, and I'm going to end right here. And this is called the Blue Shirt Illustration. Usually I'm wearing a blue shirt at that time because I don't own hardly anything but blue shirts. So the blue shirt illustration, it's just a note page. There's nothing in there. So anybody know somebody who runs regularly? Does anybody in here run regularly? Does anybody know somebody who runs regularly?
I'm trying.
You're trying, but people do. You know what? Nobody sets a goal to run regularly just to run. They set a goal connected to a vision of what they want to look like, how they want to feel, and what they want to do. Runners run to feel better physically, emotionally, mentally, to run faster, to run stronger, to look better, and to have better health. They don't typically run just to run because it's a good idea. They run on purpose. They run for reason. They run in order to participate in races, to enjoy the relationships and the culture that comes with running. The same's got to be with us. Goals have got to be connected to vision. You can't just save your money and be a Scrooge and not enjoy it. And you can't just spend it all the time and be frivolous with it. You've got to do things on purpose. So I'm going to talk about a dream I have of owning a shirt. All right? So I have this dream. It's just something inside of me. I want to own a shirt. I don't know what the shirt looks like yet, but I have this dream. So I'm going to create a vision, because vision is clarifying the dream, right? Vision is clarifying the dream. So I want a blue dress shirt long sleeve, wrinkle free, Kenneth Cole, and I see myself in the future looking really, really sharp in that shirt, all right? That's my vision. Now, I've taken it out of, I want something nice, I want to treat myself, I've taken it out of a dream, or I just want a shirt, and I've made it very visual of what I want. Then I set a goal for getting that shirt. And I put a time on it. I say, I want that shirt in 90 days. Then I start a habit of saving $10 every week set aside for that shirt. But I'm not good at saving, so I have to start a budget. I'm not good at budget, so I have to get somebody to help me. I have to get coached on how to have a budget and the right things to do. I go to a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace class. I put my 90 days on the calendar, and I circle it, going to buy blue shirt. I don't own a car. And that could stop me, but I get Bradley. I know Bradley's real generous. Bradley's going to like pick me up. I arrange it with him. And I'm colorblind, so I know I'm going to get there and not know what shirt to get, but I really want blue. Because I've heard I look good in it, so I get somebody else to go with me, and they're going to shop with me, and they're going to keep me focused. And I've tried to purchase high-quality shirts before, but I never can, because I go straight to the $5 t-shirt rack. I go straight to the, if it's on sale, it's worth it. I don't care if it's ugly. Barely fits, that's okay. I can manage. So I take a picture on my phone in the catalog of the blue shirt I want. And I tell Bradley, Bradley, I want you to help me and hold me accountable to get this blue shirt when I show up. I want you to do this to me when I start looking at the $5 t-shirts or the $12.99 rack. I mean, it was so hard for me to spend over $19 on a dress shirt. It was like, but you know, so I'm going to have it on there. He's going to see it. We know what I want. I make an appointment. I make a commitment to purchase only that shirt. So what has vision casting done for me? What has goal setting done? It's ordered my mind. It's ordered my mind. It's planned my day. It's told my finances what to do and where they're going to go. Goal setting, vision casting and goal setting does so much. It engages your friends to help you. It keeps you focused on what you really want to buy and what you really want to wear. 9 times out of 10, when I go shopping, you can ask my wife, I come back with something that I'm not super thrilled with. Because it was where? Cheap. It was on the discount rack. So vision rewards you with what your heart really, really wants instead of a cheaper imitation of the real thing. Most of us aim for what somebody else has, what fits somebody else, what looks good for somebody else. We keep up with the Joneses. We've got to aim for what's in our heart to have. I'm going to repeat what vision casting and goal setting does for us. It orders our minds. It plans our day. It tells our finances where to go. It engages us with friendships, and it keeps us focused on what we really want to buy, who we really want to be, and where we really want to go. Vision rewards us with what our heart really wants instead of a cheaper imitation. Isn't that amazing? So if you want to live the life you really want to live, the best life you can have, then you've got to have that vision, you've got to have some solid goals. And next week we're going to go a little bit of vision, a little bit of goals, and then we'll work on some habits, okay?